It's Team Granger Vandal from Atlanta, Georgia, and you're listening to Podcatcher.
This show is sponsored by PocketLenses.com.
Learn to take great pictures of your geocaching adventures with lightweight and nimble photo gear. Pocket Lenses has free resources, videos, tutorials, a weekly podcast, and simple tips to help you improve your photography. Find out more at PocketLenses.com.
This is the Podcatcher Podcast.
The podcast all about geocaching.
We consistently deliver high-quality, family-friendly shows that are informative, inspirational, and entertaining.
Welcome to the show.
I'm Sunny.
And I'm Sandy.
From sunny San Diego, California.
Welcome to Podcatcher.
This show is packed with geocaching goodness, news, tips and tricks, and tools of the trade.
Also interviews, geocaching events, and stories from around the world.
You can find show notes with links mentioned on the show and a lot more geocaching goodies at podcatcher.com. So with that, let's get on with the show. Hey, hello, and welcome to another Podcatcher Podcast.
We are glad you're here with us for show 565 for August 22nd, 2016.
And hopefully you had some time to get out there and do some geocaching, especially for International Geocaching Day.
So that's right.
Happy International Geocaching Day.
We're actually recording on International Geocaching Day.
On the day itself.
August 20th, the Saturday.
Yeah. And we attended an event today and found a few caches. And we also have some audio that we're going to share later on in the show from that event itself.
And we've just been getting back into normal routines after our camping trip.
It
takes a little while to unpack and get the house back in order and kind of get back into
normal
stuff.
It was good to be away, but it's good to be back again. And as we shared on the last trip, we're going to be sharing that with you this time around, which is the great show that we have planned for you today. We have some adventures from our camping trip to Sequoia National Park.
We also have some audio from celebrating International Geocaching Day.
Mm-hmm. And also bringing geocachers together. We love doing that.
A special announcement from Colorful Colorado and much more.
But first, geocaching promoting conservation in the news.
Geocaching and GPS news.
All right, first up in geocaching and GPS news, we have something special for you today. This news segment is brought to you by one of our roving reporters. So let's go ahead and take a listen.
This is Andrew, also known as Sensible Shoes, from Sydney, Australia, with a geocaching news segment for today. So the headline of the article is Using Geocaching to Connect with Nature. A Rotorua ranger has set the scene for a virtual game of hide-and-seek to be played across New Zealand as part of Conservation Week 2016. Community ranger Carolyn Abbott used geocaching as a way to engage the community with outdoor recreational areas 3 years ago, and the concept is now being used by the Department of Conservation, DOC, on a national scale with sponsorship from Air New Zealand. Rotorua was the first district to use geocaching to connect the public to conservation areas, and its success here has led to it being adopted as a nationwide competition for Conservation Week, said Ms. Abbott, who is the supervisor of DOC's community team. Geocaching is an activity enjoyed by millions of people across the world, but non-participants, known as muggles, are often unaware due to the secretive nature of the activity. Participants use GPS to find small hidden containers which contain a logbook and occasionally some trinkets. DOC Rotorua caches are placed on walking tracks such as Okere Falls and Mount Nongataha, and also around the Sulphur Bay Wildlife Refuge, although the geocaching community have hidden caches in many other areas. Ms. Abbott said many of the participants are domestic or international travellers who visit specific areas to find caches. The average person will probably pass 3 to 4 geocaches each day without even knowing it, but those who are serious about geocaching will take every chance they can to log a find. There's even a geocache on the moon and on shipwrecks under the water. She said the department was one of New Zealand's biggest providers of recreational assets and were always looking for ways to connect people to nature. Geocaching is a fun way to motivate people to get immersed in the great outdoors and exercising. When a cache is found, the find is logged using the geocaching website or app, and the finder describes the area and provides information about themselves. Other DOC officers started to realise geocaching was a tool to help receive information about windfall and trees or sightings of threatened species. As a result of DOC's involvement with geocaching in Rotorua, the concept has been taken across the country, and now Air New Zealand are sponsoring the activity by providing trinkets to be included in the caches and a grand prize of return flights for four anywhere on the Air New Zealand domestic network. Additional geocaches will be placed in public conservation areas before Conservation Week 2016, which runs between September 10 to 18. This year's theme is Healthy Nature, Healthy People. Activities planned for Conservation Week include glowworm tours with Blue Lake Top 10, a kayak clean-up of the Ohau Channel with river rats, a community tree planting day, kiwi aversion training for dogs, and a Healthy Nature, Healthy People photography competition with prizes from Wingspan National Bird of Prey Centre. Details will be provided on Event Finder and the DOC website in the next week. Well, that's it from me, Sunny and Sandy. Back to you.
All right, Andrew, thanks so much for sending us that news article as well as doing the audio for us as well. Much appreciated.
All right, first up in geocaching and GPS email, we hear from listener Bruce, also known as Step 2626.
That's going to be a new title. I think it's Podcatcher Email.
Fair enough. All right.
So he wrote and said, "Hey, Sunny and Sandy, I just wanted to say thanks for featuring the smart caches of Berkeley County and WV Tim on a recent episode. I live in Oregon, but recently had a business trip to Pennsylvania. I decided I could take a little extra time before returning home to go to Martinsburg, West Virginia, for a day to check out the intriguing caches you discussed on your show. It was well worth the trip. I didn't have enough time to finish the series, but I really enjoyed every cache I did there. I definitely love an opportunity to return and finish this series and the others that are available there. What a great caching destination." And that's true.
Yeah, it's true.
It really opened my mind about the possibilities of creating way above average caches. I've pondered how to do such things before, but seeing them in action may be just inspiration I need to create some smart caches of my own.
Nice.
I never would have known about them if not for your great podcast. I even got a chance to meet WV Tim in person while doing the reverse geocache. Thanks for the show." And that's, again, is Bruce, Step 2626. And he sent a picture of himself along with WV Tim.
All right.
When they met in person.
Yeah. Told you last week, we just returned from a week of camping in the Sequoia National Park, and we shared with you a few camping planning tips when you know you're going to be away from cell service without handy outlets to charge your cell phones every night. Now, if you missed last week's show, be sure to go back and listen for those tips. Now, today, we're going to be sharing with you more of our adventures from this trip.
And the first thing we did after entering the park and eating some lunch was to drive to Grant's Grove, where the giant sequoia named General Grant lives. And there was a really cool virtual cache there, which required us to follow the loop trail and find out six pieces of information. And our first stop was the Fallen Monarch. And this is this huge dead tree that you can walk through. And listen to Sunny describe this tree on the video that we took, and be sure to go and check out the photos in the Flickr set as well.
All right, we are here at Kings Canyon Sequoia National Park, and we're, of course, doing a little bit of geocaching, but we are near the General Grant tree, which is a huge sequoia tree. But right now, you're actually inside a tree. Now you can see this, but this is called the Fallen Monarch, and if you go over to this side of it, you might be able to look down the tube of the Fallen Monarch, and it is a tree that has fallen over, as you can see, but you can walk straight through it, and I can't even get the top of it here. Actually, if I went over there, I might be able to touch the top, but there's these pillars that are holding up this tree. It looks like there's been fire underneath, but it's been here for
dozens, if not maybe hundreds of years. I'm not sure how long it's been here, but it's a fallen monarch. We'll get some pictures as well. But we're out here to get some virtuals. We're in a national park. We're going to do some earth caches, try to find other things that we can as far as geocaching is concerned here while we are out at Kings Canyon in the Sequoia National Park area.
All right, well, next up, Sandy describes some of the other sites that we saw along the General Grant Trail.
Hey, guys, we're still here on the trail that actually took us to see General Grant, the huge giant sequoia that's around here. And behind me, you can see even more giant sequoias. They're everywhere on this trail. And just amazing. We've taken some awesome pictures, some kind of cool pictures, because it's really hard to get the entire tree in the picture because it's so tall. And so Sunny's been doing some cool camera angles to get pictures. And as we've gone around this trail, we saw a huge stump where sadly they cut a tree down back in the 1800s, back when people didn't even believe that these giant sequoias existed. And they actually cut down a tree that was like 25 feet in diameter, and they cut pieces of it and took it back to the East Coast, and people said, nope, that was a California hoax. That can't possibly be a tree that big. We also saw cabins and different things that still exist around in this area, and we learned lots of things about giant sequoia trees as we went around. And the cool thing is there's a virtual here, and you just have to answer the questions that you can learn about by looking at the trail signs and learning things here on the trail and around General Grant. So we actually have 5 out of 6 questions answered. So we're going to finish up the hike and hopefully find the last answer for the virtual cache. And we're going to enjoy some of the bugs and the beautiful trees. We just came over here to sit on a bench and just to look out at the beautiful nature here. The weather's gorgeous. It's a blue sky. It's just a little bit of cool, and you can tell when the sun goes down tonight, it's going to get a little bit chilly at our campsite. But we are just really enjoying our time here, appreciating the giant sequoia trees.
Now, the next day, we started out with a tour of Crystal Cave, which was really cool, and it had 2 earth caches near it. Mm-hmm. So I kept busy with my papers, keeping track of all the things that we had to observe and the questions we had to answer. And, you know, one thing we were a little confused about, but we just asked our tour guide at the end. And that's something to keep in mind when you're attempting earth caches, when there are experts nearby. Because she had heard of geocaching. She didn't know about earth caches, but she thought it was pretty cool when we explained it to her. And we didn't record down at the cave, but later, as we started a hike out among the giant sequoias, I reflected on our earlier time back in the cave.
All right, we just took a short walk from the Giant Tree Museum, and we're actually here at Big Trees Trail. And as you can see around me, if you're watching the video, there's big trees everywhere. And these are the amazing giant sequoia trees. And they are spectacular. And you can see them all over the forest. This particular place has a high concentration of them in a ring around a beautiful meadow. And so we're gonna take this trail and walk around the meadow and see all these trees. We've already been taking tons of pictures as best you can. You almost can't take a picture with the entire tree in it unless you're really far away. We've got some video of the trees, you know, trying to give you an idea of from the ground up. And one of the things about giant sequoia trees is they are massive. They are they don't get smaller as they go up like most trees do. They stay really large all the way up, and that's why they're called the world's biggest trees. They're not the tallest trees, but as far as the amount of wood that's in them, they're the largest trees. Bugs around here again. Earlier this morning, we went to Crystal Cave, and it was spectacular. It was so amazing. We hiked down, I don't know, half a mile down this kind of rough path, and Sean was a little worried about all the rock, the falling rock potential, but no rocks fell on us. And then we were in a pretty large group with a tour guide that went through about 45 minutes through this cave. And Sunny took some pictures. You weren't allowed to do flash photography, of course, but Sunny was able to get some images that we can share with you. Just amazing to see how these this cave and these caverns were formed over so many years through the water. And there was one cavern where you could hear the water rushing and you could see it, and you could just see the way it had flowed through the cavern to make the spectacular stalactites and stalagmites and all of the things that are there in the cave. There was another one that was this giant marble room, and we actually went in there and we were able to sit down for a while, and Sunny has a picture of the tour guide telling some stories about kind of history and how it tied into the earth and the cave itself. And then she turned out the lights, and so it was completely black and completely silent. And most of the kids and families cooperated, and it really was quiet. And it was just amazing to just sit there in the darkness and the stillness and just think about being in this cave so many feet underground. And as we were walking around, we were also talking about the early explorers that first found the cave, and they just went in there with torches and had to like crawl through and find their way. I mean, they didn't have a nice little paved path like we walked on to go through. So we really, really enjoyed our time there at Crystal Cave. It was nice and cool in there. It was like 50 degrees Fahrenheit. And now we're back in the sunshine and the heat, and we're gonna enjoy the beauty that surrounds us on top of the earth. We were under the earth, and now we're on top of the earth, enjoying these giant sequoia trees behind me.
All right, and we'll get back to the rest of our sequoia adventure a little bit later on in the show.
All right, and as we mentioned, it was International Geocaching Day today, and hopefully you got out there and found some caches to get that souvenir. But here's some audio that we recorded earlier today for the International Geocaching Day at an event that we attended.
Hey guys, we are coming to you from a park out here in Southern California, San Diego, and it is an International Caching Day event.
International Geocaching Day is today, August 20th. And this was an event that, there's several events today, and that's probably the same in your neck of the woods, because if you attend an event or find a geocache, you get to get a souvenir.
Or do both.
Or do both, yes, which is what we plan to do. This was actually a small, just a half-hour event. There's a larger event that's farther away from us. We're not sure if we're going to be able to make that later today. But this one was actually hosted by a geocacher from Germany.
Yes, international geocacher on International Geocaching Day, a guy from Germany.
Yes, very international here.
Yes.
And he was here visiting friends. He's actually here for a wedding later tonight. And since he knew he couldn't make the other event, he said, hey, I should just host one of my own. And of course, people are bringing their travel bugs and ducks for the Duck Dash travel bug race that's ending today.
Mm-hmm.
And people were just came. It was just a pretty short stand-up event. We kind of gathered together under a tree where there was a little bit of shade and sit around chatting with people. A whole lot of fun.
Yeah. And, you know, I was talking to Sandy earlier. There's a lot of things that are attractive about geocaching that make it just so much fun. And one of them is getting together with people. You know, getting together at a short event or at a longer event, maybe like a Sito or Kitaw, where you get to pick up trash and connect with people. You know, it's just sort of like geocaching when you go out and pick up trash, because sometimes you can meet somebody that you're not that familiar with, and then you go and pick up trash, and by the end of it, not only have you cleaned up the environment, but you also have made a new friend. And the other thing also is all these sort of different, I don't know, challenges maybe you want to call them, you know, gathering of souvenir, gathering of icons, and things like that. And by just keeping your radar up, you'll know that getting a souvenir like for International Geocaching Day is not that hard to do, you know, pretty easy.
No, it's usually just a simple thing of making sure that you attend an event or find a geocache on a particular day. And then for people who are interested in souvenirs, you get to have one.
Yeah.
And speaking of other types of challenges, we talked to several different caches at this event about challenges like the Jasmer and the Fizzy. Some of them are really into it, and other cachers were like, oh, we don't really aim for that.
Right.
And someone had found out about it recently and was starting to try to find some. And I actually chatted with a friend and found out about a geocache. I have to go investigate it, but I think it might be another one that we need for our Fizzy, our difficulty terrain.
Right.
It's a recently hidden one. Get this, it's a gadget type cache with
like
a puzzle in the field.
I like it.
And a pretty high difficulty, so yeah. I think we might need it for our Fizzy group.
Well,
so
multiple reasons to go after the thing then, a kind of cache that I would like, and it fills in part of the grid. And yeah, what Sandy was saying is absolutely right. Sometimes people just could care less. You know, they're just geocachers and they want to find traditional caches, or they want to find their high finds, and they could care less about filling in a grid. But we spoke to a geocacher today, and she's a local San Diego geocacher, and she says, once I found out about it, it's like, oh no, because of my OCD, I've got to fill in the grid.
I've got, now that I know about it.
Yeah. And then I think we told her about another one that's sort of grid-like as well. And she goes, no, I don't want to know about it. So funny stuff. Anyway, it is a beautiful, gorgeous day here in San Diego. Nice cool breeze. Not a cloud in the sky right now. And not too hot.
Not too hot. Although we're standing in the shade right now.
Yeah, but at least the breeze is cool. Because, you know, sometimes it gets to that point where it's just so hot that even the breeze is warm and uncomfortable and you're just dripping with sweat.
Yeah.
But I think it's a great day to go out, and we're going to do a little more exploring. We're actually going to do a little bit of mixing of location-based games.
Pokemon Go.
We're going to do a little Pokemon Go. Well, you know what? We were off the grid for so long on our camping trip.
He's got some catching up to do.
I do. There was no... And, of course, doing a little bit of geocaching along the way, which, like we said before, Pokemon Go is a good cover for it, so we'll be able to do both at the same time. We're going to do a little traveling today, a little bit of just traveling around San Diego, doing a little Pokemon Go, and, of course, geocaching on International Geocaching Day.
Getting back to our national park adventure, just take a listen to where we ended up on the third morning.
We are in the Sequoia National Forest, and we are way up high, almost to the highest point in this area, because right over here we're looking down on rocks and the tops of giant trees. And way over here is where we're headed. Huge, huge pile of rocks with a fire lookout station on top. This is Buck Rock Lookout. And we're gonna climb all those stairs to the top. Pretty awesome.
All right, so this place that I'm describing is called Buck Rock Lookout, and we actually found out about it in kind of an unusual way.
Yeah, you know, the neat thing about going camping, and a lot of you know this, is people who go camping are pretty sociable most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so Sean was going around our campsite, and he found a grasshopper, and there was a kid nearby. I said, hey, Sean, go say hi to that kid and show him that you got a grasshopper. So he did. He introduced himself, and after a while, they became like best of friends right next door. Well, soon enough, we got to talk to his mom and dad as well, and really nice people. And so we just started chatting about this and that and where we've been and where they've been. And they said, they took a look at our vehicle and said, you know, there's a place that if you don't mind going off-road a little bit, it's called Buck Rock. And so they described where we could go to this fire tower, and it sounded really intriguing, off the beaten path. You know, I love going to national parks to see some of the things to see that you just sort of gawk at, so the huge trees, but the thing that's not so great about it is the huge crowds that around those areas. So what he described sounded really intriguing because it was sort of off the beaten path, and so we decided to go ahead and give it a try.
And it was totally true. I mean, there was very, very few people, I mean, very few cars on the drive, and then very few people once we got to the end. And as we started driving, it was a dirt road and potholes, and we weren't very far along, and we were saying there we never would have brought the Camry here.
Oh, no.
That even though the RAV4 isn't four-wheel drive, it's got the high clearance.
Yeah.
And it was able to handle the road carefully,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah. The road was, it was a fire road. It was meant for off-road trucks and things. It was maintained, but it certainly wasn't designed for like my little Miata. Although we heard that a Prius tried to make it up there. I'm not sure how well they did.
Not sure if they did.
But the coolest thing was we got out there where it was nice and quiet and away from the crowds, and then we got to this rock that had a metal staircase. Now, it was all well built. It wasn't rickety or anything like that, but it was a very steep climb.
It was steep, and it was windy. You're out just, you know, on the face of this rock, you know, higher than anything around you.
Yeah.
And climbing up, you know, Sean was a little like, oh, so what's going to happen if I fall?
He was safe. It had railings, high railings on either side. So there was no real danger at any time. I mean, it was steps, and they were well designed once again. But we went up and up and up and basically got to the top of this rock outcropping where there was this tiny little house with windows on all sides,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, a little structure there, you know, not much larger than, I don't know, somebody's living room or something.
Yeah, pretty small.
Well, you had enough room for a bed, right, off to one side, the small little stove, and then a whole bunch of equipment that she was using to keep watch over all of the land for fire. Well, once we got up there, and actually before we got up there, because of the camping neighbor that we had found out that this ranger was also a geocacher.
That's right. She was a relatively new geocacher, and we really enjoyed talking to her. She's already found some caches, but not a lot, and she was excited to talk to us, find out about our podcast, and she already actually had some ideas about using geocaches to bring more visitors out to the lookout area. And now this lookout was in Sequoia National Forest, right, not Sequoia right. National Park.
So a national forest, yeah.
We've actually already verified that even though national parks don't allow traditional caches with containers, national forests do. Mm-hmm. And so she's going to work on getting permission for this. And we're going to possibly help her with that as well. But we took some time to record a little bit of audio with her. And so let's take a listen to that.
Hey guys, one of the cool things about being a geocacher is finding other geocachers in places you wouldn't believe. So right now, who are we speaking to, first of all? We are speaking with?
My name's Mish.
Mish, and where are we right now?
We're at Buck Rock Lookout, right, in Sequoia National Forest.
All right, and our elevation and the position of where we are, maybe you can describe that?
We're at 8,500 feet on top of a big granite ice cream cone.
That's a good way to describe it. Now, if you take a look at some of the pictures that we have, you'll see what she's talking about. It is amazing. It's perched, looking precariously, but it really isn't. Sean and Sandy and I climbed up some amazing steps, and the view up here is amazing. As you pan around, you'll be able to see mountains, forest, and a lot of the other scenery from a vantage point. And Mitch, tell us a little bit about the reason why this is up here at all.
Okay, Buck Rock is here specifically for fire watching. That's the only reason we exist, is to keep our eyes on the forest and to look for smoke.
Okay, and from this vantage point, you're able to see quite a distance, it seems.
Right, I can see, sometimes I can see as far as 100 miles away over the valley.
Wow.
But really, my territory is about 20 miles. I can see 35 miles reasonably. So yeah, 20 to 30 miles.
And once you spot something from up here, a little bit of smoke, a little bit of fire, what's the procedure then? What's the next thing that you do?
When I spot a smoke, I get on my handy dandy Osborne Fire Finder, which is my lovely fire spotting tool that was created in the early 20th century. And it helps me locate the geographic location exactly of where I'm seeing that smoke. Right. And so once I determine where it is, the distance, all the pertinent information, then I can call it in to the proper authorities.
Wow. So towers like this are really essential and crucial to being able to spot where they are. Do they have other tools that they incorporate, you know, planes or satellite as well?
Satellite, no. They might call in a plane to look at what I've spotted after I call it in.
Oh, okay.
But a smoke has to be really large to be able to be seen from satellite, and by that point, it's too late.
Oh, okay. So you really are sort of the first line of defense.
Absolutely. We're faster, and it's just all around better to have a real eyes on the forest than any kind of machine at this point.
Now, not only is it a place like a tower location, but it's also, it looks like, a residence.
Right. Yes, that's the beauty of the job. It's my office during the day, and it's my house at night.
All right. So how long have you been here?
I've been volunteering here for 3 years, so I do a couple of days a month. And then recently I just moved into a Forest Service position, so I do 5 days a week.
Oh, you're up here for 5 days, then you go down?
Yeah, that's right. And I stay here in between.
So. Okay. Well, one of the cool things we found out was she was also a geocacher, somewhat of a newbie, you say, though?
Yeah, totally a newbie.
Okay, but here's the coolest thing. She's thinking about planting a geocache somewhere around here, maybe even up here.
Right. That's what I want to do.
So we're kind of giving her some tips and ideas of how it might be planted over here. And so if you come up here and there's a geocache, you're going to know where it all started.
Yay,
all right.
Here.
Well, don't want to take you away from your work and from spotting those fires. So, but thanks for taking time to chat with us today.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
All right.
Okay. Bye-bye.
So Mish really enjoys her job up there, but mm-hmm. she's really excited to potentially put a geocache there. And, you know, one of the neat things is because this tower, and it's encouraged for people to come out there and visit. It's not like it's really isolated. I mean, there's even this little gift store uh-huh. that you can buy little things there, which the money, the proceeds of that go to help support the tower as well. But she's excited to put out there. She's going to have to talk to her supervisors and make sure everything is good. But the nice thing is it's not going to be just sitting out in the wilderness where somebody might trample on it or get stolen, things like that. It's going to be in a drawer, most likely, somewhere where, just like we've done geocaches before, where somebody can come up and say, is there a geocache here? Mm-hmm. And then she'll be able to hand it to them and then meet the geocachers, which is really neat. Now, from what we understood, she's up there 5 days and then takes a break and then goes up there for another 5 days. So she's going to have to train other rangers who aren't geocachers on, you know, what to do if somebody comes up when it's not her time up there. So we had a great time. We have some images that we can share with you. The views out there were outstanding. You can see for miles and miles and miles. And, very unique experience to go off the beaten path just because sometimes of the serendipitous people that you meet that share with you their passion about going out there in the wilderness.
Next up, we have Mike and Julie from Colorado with a big announcement. Let's take a listen.
Hello, podcasters. It's Mike.
And Julie from Colorful Colorado. A couple of episodes ago, I mentioned that we would announce location and dates for our next big event here in Colorado, the Amazing Geocache Race.
For those of you who may have missed Julie's announcement in an earlier episode of Podcasher, here's a quick rundown of what we're talking about. In 2015, we hosted a small competition event that we called the Amazing Geocache Race, and it was a satellite event for Geocaching Colorado's annual campout. We had such great feedback and so much fun that we did it again this year. Well, after doubling the amount of participants, we realized it was time to move the event.
After this year's event, we made an announcement that we are going to continue the event as an annual thing, but we will move the event to different areas around the state, starting next year. We also said there were a few more small details to work out before we could announce the date and location of next year's event, and to keep an ear out for further announcements. Finally, we told everyone that the first place to hear the news would be right here on Podcasher. Maybe right now?
Yes! Okay, everyone, here it is. On Podcasher before anywhere else, Geocaching Colorado's exclusive announcement. Starting in the summer of 2017, Geocaching Colorado and Mike and Julie will be working with various Colorado state parks as we take this event to the most beautiful places our state has to offer.
Okay, so where will the next one be?
All right, well, join us on the last weekend of June, that's the 23rd to the 25th, for 2017 Geocaching Colorado Amazing Geocache Race.
In beautiful Cheyenne Mountain State Park.
The park is easy to access. It's only minutes south of Colorado Springs and has all of your favorite Colorado goodness. Incredible views, lots of trails, and lots of geocaches. There's still plenty of planning for a weekend-long geocaching event. We'll be sure to keep the podcasters up to date on the big details. Hopefully we'll see some of the smart, talented, and good-looking podcaster listeners at the Cheyenne Mountain State Park next year. Until next time.
Stay safe and keep on caching.
Next up, we have the geocaching question of the day with your host, Lookout Lisa from Cache Advance.
Now, Mondays through Thursdays, she asks her followers on Twitter, Facebook, and Google+, a question about geocaching.
Let's take a listen to one of her questions this week.
We recently asked, did you earn your souvenir last weekend? Well, cachers were out in force last weekend. 84% of us did get the multi-cache souvenir, and many more sure tried hard. So here's what we heard. Albert had some weather-related problems. He shared, no storms and flash flooding were predicted all weekend, and the only multis in my area that I had not logged were in the deep woods. Well, Carrie on Google+ shared, tried but DNF'd the only active one I could get to. Multis tend to be poorly maintained in my experience. You know, Carrie, I can kind of relate to that. Bill got his, but he was frustrated. He shared, yep, and it sucked. 6 stage, 2 missing, needed PAF, which is phone a friend, to get the final. CO admits cords are off and doesn't bother to fix. No reply. Oh, Bill, I'm so sorry to hear about all that. And Tom shared, yes, it was on a cache that we DNF'd a number of years ago. We ran into the same issue last time with a lot of geo bounce at the final.
but several years of experience gave me the tools to overcome it. Good job, Tom. And Susan on Facebook shared, found an awesome library multi on a rainy day, brighten our moods despite the gloomy weather. Well, we got our multi-cache in Port Orchard. We were there for the pirate event on Saturday and really enjoyed strolling around town on Sunday grabbing some caches. Well, as always, we really enjoyed hearing about geocaching adventures, and you can too. If you follow us, Cache Advance, on Facebook, Twitter, and Google Plus for the geocaching question of the day. Thanks all, and happy caching.
Thanks, Lisa. And Cache Advance is your geocaching hub for all your caching needs, including the Cache Crate, a monthly subscription box of geocaching and outdoor gear.
Find out more at cache-advance.com.
All right, we're going to wrap up our Sequoia camping geocaching trip adventure with audio from our fourth day out there. And this is a day we hiked close to 8 miles with a pretty significant elevation gain on two different hikes. And we were able to get a virtual that filled a difficulty terrain slot for us in the fizzy grid, as well as two really cool earth caches.
Yeah.
And it was a really great day. And so we have some audio for you. So let's take a listen to that.
Hey guys, and we are here at Sequoia National Park. We've been here for a couple days and we are ready. We are at the top of the Little Baldy Saddle Trail. And up at the top, there is a virtual cache. And one of the reasons we're going for this particular virtual cache is because it's going to fulfill part of a grid, a qualifier that we currently don't have. So when we saw that it was here, we said we got to go for it. Besides, we are in spectacular beauty right now. We've been here for several days and have seen so many cool things out here at Sequoia National Park out here in California. If you've never been here before, there are giant sequoia trees, these giant redwood sequoia trees that are absolutely massive. There's also Crystal Cave, which is out here. So many things to see. It's just hard to describe. We'll, of course, include some pictures for you to take a look at. But right now, we just parked by the side of the road, designated parking for this particular trail. If you listen carefully in the background, you might hear some cars because the roadway is just right there, which means a lot of people are going on this trail. So we're going to head on up the trail. It's going to be an exciting one. I mean, here, spectacular beauty almost everywhere you look. Just amazing trees. It's breathtaking. It really is. And the smell right now, which you can't appreciate, is a pine-scented, rich, lush forest. All right, so come along with us as we go try to accomplish getting one of the qualifiers for something that we don't have, a kind of cache that we don't currently have, as we go travel caching out here in Sequoia National Park.
All right, guys, we made it to the end of our hike. We are at the top of Little Baldy, and it's a huge granite dome here in Sequoia National Park. And it was about a 1.7-mile hike, almost straight up, with switchbacks, and there was a few little places where it got a little bit more level, but it was about a 900-foot elevation gain all the way up here. So the good thing is it'll be mostly downhill on the way back. And it was an amazing hike. Through everywhere we turned, there was incredible views, looking down on the trees and looking off in the distance to the peaks all around us. We're surrounded by Sequoia National Park, Sequoia National Forest, Kings Canyon National Park, wilderness areas. There's just amazing beauty everywhere you look. And the hike was pretty strenuous and hot. We were just sweating up a storm. When we got to the top of this granite dome, there's this tremendous breeze, cool breeze, that is just cooling us down, and it's awesome. And we were successful to find the virtual cache that's on top of here. We found the information that we needed to claim the virtual cache, which is really cool. Took a bunch of pictures up here. We also learned that on the top of this peak, you can get a little bit of cell service, which you can't find hardly anywhere in the national park. We've been completely off the grid, except every once in a while, we'll hear a ding on the phone and there's a little tiny bit of coverage and then it goes away. But on the tops of these peaks, sometimes you can get that coverage. So
we really enjoyed the hike. We're going to go find a little bit of shade that we can sit and eat our picnic lunch that we brought with us and just enjoy some of the views and also the hike back down. In fact, we'll stop and take some video at this place that we walked through that looked like it was Christmas tree land. There was just pine trees, the kind that looked like Christmas trees, just spread out as far as the eye could see. It was just amazing. So we'll get some video of that as well. So we were successful to our hike, and this was 1.5, 4.5. So the terrain was 4.5, difficulty 1.5, and this fills a spot in our fizzy grid, the difficulty terrain grid, which is why it caught my eye, which was pretty exciting for us. And I think it might be the highest terrain that Sean has ever achieved for a geocache, and he did great on the hike up. In fact, we enjoyed ourselves by playing a little game about things that we're thankful for as we made the hike. All right, we're going to go eat our picnic lunch and then head back down the mountain and just enjoy some of the views up here at Little Baldy. All right, guys, we have made it to our final destination on our second big hike today, and this is Tokopah Falls, I think. And it is less than impressive. This time of the season, being summertime, falls typically aren't rushing as they would be in the spring, and so we couldn't even hear the falls till we almost were just around the corner from it. We kept saying, "Where's the falls?" And it just looks like there's somebody just turned a faucet on. There's really not much to it. But as we kept telling Sean, it wasn't the falls that made this trip amazing. It was the journey up here. We basically hiked up a glacial valley that was carved who knows how many years ago, and it has turned into meadows and forests that have grown up around the spring, the river that flows down this valley. One side of it is just huge, steep granite peaks, and the other side is tumbled rocks from that have just been broken off and broken by the ice millions of years ago. Just completely amazing. And as Sunny said earlier, there was two earth caches up here. One right here by the falls that you had to learn and find out some information, and the one just a little bit further down where we actually took a family picture just in the midst of this tumble of humongous rocks. Really, really fascinating, really, really beautiful place to hike to. And but what we've done more than 7 miles today on from some pretty steep terrain. And Sean did a great job, but all of us are pretty tired. So we're going to be heading back down the trail pretty soon here, back to our campground to have dinner and rest our weary legs. But we're pretty proud and happy about the hikes that we took today, the beautiful scenery that we saw, and also doing a virtual and two earth caches along the way. Really, really enjoying our time here at Sequoia National Park.
Podcaster, games and contests.
Here at Podcaster, we love to play games and contests that gives you opportunities to win groovalicious swag.
All right, and we've had the contest going on for reviews on iTunes or Google Play for the Android app, and we even extended it a week, so even more of you got a chance to enter. And so now we're going to roll the dice and pick some winners, and everyone who wins gets to pick from the Podcaster Prize Vault.
All right, so here's the first one up here. There you go.
All right, the first winner is DEC. K-I-M. So Deck
the
Kim. December Kim.
I don't know.
This person left an Android app review in Google Play.
All right. Well, thanks for that. Let's do another one. All right. There you go.
All right. And the second winner is Pickup Family, who left an iTunes review. All right. Thanks.
Okay. And let's do one more.
One more.
One more. All right. Here we go. There you go.
All right, and the last winner is Podcast Man.
All right.
Podcast Man, who also left an iTunes review. So thanks
all
very
right.
much, guys.
Hey, congratulations. And write us as soon as you can, as soon as you hear about this. You got 2 weeks to get in contact with us. And let us know you heard your name, so that way you can send us your mailing address and let us know your three picks from the Podcaster Prize Vault. Theme song means we are done with the geocaching goodness, at least for today's show, and it's now time for a quick Sean update.
Well, summer has flown by because school is starting in 1 week.
Woo!
It's kind of crazy. He's going into third grade. It's hard to believe.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think he's looking forward to seeing his friends, but not necessarily really thrilled and excited about getting back into the schoolwork yet.
Yeah, that's true.
He's had fun having a break from all of that. Although he loves to read, so he's been doing a lot of reading.
Yeah.
But getting back into math and history and all that will be kind of adjustment like all kids go through at the end of the summer.
Yeah, but what a summer he's had. He's been out to Denver. He's been out to the Sequoias. You know, he's been done geocaching out here, done a lot of swimming. This was the summer that he turned over and was able to actually become a swimmer, a genuine swimmer. And we still got a little bit of summer left. We were looking forward to some more water activities. We've got the family pool party. It's an annual thing that goes on. And we're also going out to a water slide park. And he's really excited. He's been counting down the days to that.
Yep.
So I'm really looking forward to it. But, you know, he's going to be excited. I know once he gets into his new class, about his new teacher and all the friends that he meets, he's going to have a great time. He always does. So, all right. Well, that is going to do it for today's show. Hey, thank you so much for coming back and listening to Podcaster. Do us a huge favor, though, if you enjoy what we bring you each and every week, tell other geocachers about Podcaster so that they can join the goodness and enjoy the geocaching goodness we bring you each and every week. All right, guys, get out there and find them geocaches, but stay safe and keep on caching. Bye.
Well, that's it for the show today. We hope you enjoyed it. Make sure to visit our website at podcaster.com. You'll find our show notes, useful links, and tons of resources. We always love to hear from you. Our email is podcaster@gmail.com. You can also call the Podcaster hotline at 760-300-3633. Find out all the ways you can contact us at podcaster.com/contact. Till next time, stay safe and keep on caching.